Welcome to show number 99 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. Yo, what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to today's show. Hopefully you guys are doing good out there. Hopefully you guys have gotten some nice cards, either in some packs that you've opened or on single card hunting. If you're like me, like I think I said on the last podcast that I bid a lot on some cards, get on there and sometimes miss some, sometimes have them in my, the worst thing on eBay is like you miss the watch list. So you have a card on your watch list and you're like, you wait for it for like 3 or 4 days and you're about to bid on it. And something happens, you like go out to dinner or, you know, something, you kind of lose track of time, or like right now the kind of Olympics are on TV and there's stuff on TV and maybe your favorite NFL team's in training camp. So you've been reading the news on that. So you miss out. And so then you see the end price and you're like, oh, I would have paid that, or I would have paid a dollar or two more than that. So sometimes it's kind of frustrating. So I've been experiencing some of those. Hopefully you guys don't have that. I know with like, if you have like the eBay app, there's like a way to remind you. And I found that was like the best way to remember my watch list was, I think you can set up alerts on either any kind of, if you have any, their mobile app on any device, I think you can set up like alerts. So it'll bing you, like, I think you can do it an hour before, 10 minutes before or whatever. And to me, that's like the best way, especially if you're like really trying to win something. For me, I'm not that serious about it right now because the cards aren't that rare. I'll be able to pick them up later. And we'll actually talk about some of them here. I won't talk about the specific cards I'm going to get, but from the sets, there's some interesting football sets that have come out. So we'll talk about that here pretty soon. But yeah, my eBay mobile plug, I guess, for you guys. I don't use it that much. I'm still a desktop guy, and I find it easier to find information that way. But hey, you're tuning into our podcast, so hey, thanks for tuning in. What the heck are we going to talk about? Well, we're on the eve. My brother's going to be traveling to Baltimore, probably as you listen to this, or maybe a couple days after. And so we'll have lots of interviews, hopefully, without minus any technical anomalies. We'll hopefully have like interviews and stuff like that, and some other content from the National. So either if you're there, you know, try to send us an email or try to hook up with my brother that's there. And we'll get you a recorded piece on the show or something, and we're going to work it out. We'll see how it goes. The most important thing with the show, though, and what we're going to talk about on today is we're going to talk about both angles. So, like, going to the show and, like, buying. And so I've been to the same show for, like, the last 3 or 4 years. And kind of like mainly just to buy, obviously. And so we'll talk about that, like some of the strategies, some of the things I've picked up over the last couple years of going. And we'll also talk about selling a card show, because I think I've done it like once or twice, but I've definitely been there enough to know, see different kind of sellers and which ones work. So we'll talk about that. So there'll be a little bit of card show like preparation, since we're on the eve of the National, since it's about to start. We'll talk about like, hey, what do you need to know about going there, and what do you need to know about selling stuff there? So whether you're going or not, it might be kind of a fun show. But in this very first segment, we'll quickly talk about 2012 Donruss Elite Football and 2012 Score Football, which recently came out. But also, I wanted to mention 2012 Bowman Platinum Baseball came out. So if you're a baseball fan, you might want to check that out. We won't talk about any of these sets in depth, but I wanted to give you a heads up. 2012 Top's Finest UFC has come out very recently as well. So if you're a fan, I know I watched the Anderson Silva fight against, I forget the guy's name. And UFC is always interesting. I think it's kind of a tough thing to follow. If you do, for one, you have to have cable, and then two, you have to be willing to fork over the $40 or $50 for the pay-per-views most of the time to follow the fights. So if you're like me and I don't have cable right now, and plus $50 for a pay-per-view is a lot of money. So, and it seems like they come every month. So, but it is an interesting sport, and I follow sometimes the free shows, and occasionally I'll go to a friend's house for the pay-per-view. So anyways, UFC cards, they don't come out that often. They certainly don't come out as much as like there's pay-per-views. So you might want to check out that set. And there's also Gold Standard Basketball. I couldn't remember if we talked about Gold Standard Basketball on the last show or not. I kind of seem to remember we did, but if we didn't, Gold Standard Basketball came out, and you know, based on just some of the interest I've heard from other collectors, everybody's just waiting for next year's basketball. The redemption cards are cool, and some of the other autographs and stuff you get in there are pretty cool. But man, next year's going to be really fun with the rookies hopefully in there. Maybe not in the early season product, but we'll see rookies start popping out of the products. At least definitely like non-autographed ones. We'll definitely start seeing that for the first time very soon, actually. I think Prestige Basketball should come out, I think, next month or something like that. You might want to check on that. But we got next year's basketball kind of rolling over here pretty soon. So be on the lookout for that. Well, hey, let's talk really quickly about 2012. Donruss Elite or Panini Elite Football. I think they're putting this out still under the Don brand. I can't remember. But anyways, there's quite a bit of cards. Actually, these cards really reminded me a lot of last year's cards, except I think the rookies are vertical this year. Last year, they were horizontal. But for the most part, this set is very, very similar to last year's set. You find 100 different rookie cards, which is pretty cool. So 100 different autographed rookie cards. So if you're a fan of some of the picks, sometimes towards the end of the year, that stuff gets weaned out. I remember some of the late season products didn't always have the deepest checklist, which is good sometimes. Sometimes it just had the primetime rookies, maybe about 50 of them. But here you get 100 of them. So you might find some sleepers and stuff like that and some different things. But the couple cards that I wanted to mention that are actually just the ones that was the inscription, rookie inscriptions. Those are signed on card. There's different ink variations. There's also a version that's like a clear card. The card's like clear. And so I thought that was really interesting. You might want to go check those out. I've seen some of the early sales, like a Robert Griffin and some of the other players sell a lot of money. It seems like they've cooled off maybe slightly. But I thought those were probably the most interesting cards in the set. Outside of, you got to always have seen the torch in here and your jersey cards and stuff like that. But I really thought that the inscription cards, and especially the clear ones, and I like that they use different ink on there. So it shows that Panini is kind of learning from, or definitely kind of emulating some of the things that Topps does, but also adding their own twist. I think having a cardboard card and having a base, another variation that is a different ink color, and it's clear, I think that's really cool. I like that kind of it's good synergy for them, and it also, I think, it looks out for the collector. I think the collectors are excited about it. I think if you pull one of the regular ones, maybe you want one of the clear ones too, or maybe you want to sell that one and go get one of the more rare ink versions. So I just think it's kind of fun. Adds a little bit of collectability to it. Anyways, that's 2012 Donruss Elite boxes. Last one traded on eBay for about $110. So it looks like they're selling pretty good. I think you get about 4 hits in there. It's about standard for Donruss Elite. And 2012, quickly going to 2012 Score Football, some of the more interesting cards in here are the photo variations. And if you want to know which ones are which, a whole list up on our website. You can just do a little, I added a little search box to the top of our website. So if you want to just do a straight search right at the top, it'll search. And the other feature I wanted to mention was Freedom Cardboard, that he owns off Sports Card Shop. They run the forum freedomcardboard.com, and then I think he also owns a card store in Georgia. Somewhere in Georgia. I can't remember where exactly it is. But anyways, he tweeted me one day and was wondering why I didn't have like a printing, if I could have a printer option or printer friendly mode on all the checklist pages. So that actually was a really easy fix. And so I added a little printer icon to all the checklists. So if you want to print them out, and that goes along with our card show. So if you go into a card show, or if you're traveling or whatever, if you have binders and you want to, you know, staple a checklist in the front of them or whatever, you can use ours and print them out in the printer. There's a little printer icon in the top, near the top right of the checklist, and you'll click on that, and then you got to click on it. It brings up another window, and you got to click on it again. But it works really well. I tested it out on a couple different views, couple different printers, and it seemed to work pretty good. So hopefully that helps you out. Back to score. Speaking of a nice set to maybe try to collect here, you got 300 different veteran base cards, but there's another 100 rookies tacked on. And so you got a 400 a total rookies. Then you use variations mixed in, which didn't seem like they were that hard to get, but they're still pretty tough. I would wait on those. I think Penny had a lot of score. But the one thing I wanted to notice, bring up, was they brought back serial numbers. I remember last year they didn't really have much serial numbered or really serial numbered of it all in this set. So it brought back that at the artist proof level. So those are out of 32. Reds are out of 20. End zones are out of 6. They got the glossy cards, so keep an eye out for those. Those were old. For me, maybe it's just my eye. I have really bad eyesight. And so maybe it's just me, but glossy cards are always really tough to tell. And I know if you send those in to check out my cards, they almost never get them right. You almost have to remember or write down which ones are glossy. And when they get sent in, especially right in the beginning, then you gotta make an edit. Don't price them or whatever and make it glossy. They've got scorecard and gold zone for pretty much everything. They've got glossy almost parallel for everything. Another set in here that I thought was kind of cool with a rookie flashback reprint. This is like, I'm almost thinking like a Topps brand manager transferred to Panini or something, because we're seeing reprints. We're seeing very concise sets with just autographs and different. It's right up the Topps playbook. Seems to work for them. So, hey, why not work for Panini here? I like that they've got, because score's been going back to like 1989 or 1988 or whatever. So they got like Kurt Warner in here, Marshall Faulk, Mike Irvin. I saw some like random players too. Like Ricky Williams. He's random. Like, people love him. Eddie George, Hayward Jeffries, that's someone younger collectors probably don't know. Junior Sale, that's like well timed, so hopefully collectors pull that card there. Like, they remember that, like suicide and like that kind of thing can happen to anybody, so it doesn't necessarily mean Junior Sale, just because he like got concussions on the field and stuff like that, didn't mean he was not susceptible to suicide anyways. So you just want to make sure that, like, you, if you have friends or something, anybody that part time, that you help them out. And so that Junior Sale card should be a reminder to everybody out there. But there's a lots of other ones in here, Barry Sanders and lots of other players in here. So concise set, not a very big, you got complete players in the zone, hot rookies, and that's about it. You know, you got base cards, so, and lots of different parallels. So I like score. That's a dollar. That's going to be a dollar a pack. You're going to be able to find it at retail places, and that's it. It was like a retail only, and I think they got the exclusive. They got it a week earlier. Now hobby shop, they got it like around the 18th, and now hobby shops have been having it since like the 25th or something like that. So you've probably seen score. Although I was just at my local Target to try to pick, I was trying to pick up MLS score, or not MLS score, Upper Deck MLS. That's, since I was just talking about score. They all seem to run together. That's the funny thing about cards. It's the more and more, I know that I got a tweet the other day that somebody was like, man, I took a couple years off football. Now I'm back. There's so many choices. And it's so true. There's so many different things that even when Target didn't have score, I was looking to get a blaster, because I think the blasters are like 10 bucks and you get 11 packs. And but I didn't find it. I didn't see any loose packs either. But I picked up a couple packs of Upper Deck MLS for my nephew, because I know he's playing soccer, and I think my brother-in-law plays in some leagues and stuff. I don't know if they watch soccer or whatever, but the packs were only a dollar. So I was like, man, I hope these packs aren't $2.99. But luckily they're only a dollar, so I could get a bunch of them, and they could mess with the cards, and maybe they get something good. I don't know. There's like autographs and stuff in there. I don't know if we talked about that set on the last show, but there is, for the soccer fan, soccer sets only come out like once or twice a year. So you should maybe check it out if you haven't seen it. But I'm sure, since they only come out once a year, that's the good thing about collecting those like obscure sports, is they don't cut, like, not obscure, but since soccer is like the most, I just call it soccer obscure, it's like the most popular sport in the world. But you know, those sets that aren't collected, it's not like baseball cards or like football cards. UFC, we talked about earlier, doesn't have as many sets. Even something like hockey doesn't have as many sets, but it has quite a few sets. And that's, yeah, that's golf too. Golf's another one. I think SB Authentic Golf's coming out. It's been meaning to come out for a while, but looks like it's coming out next month. And yeah, that's about it. Yeah, I think that's about it for this week. first segment. When we come back, we are going to be talking about card show tips, since my brother is going to be flying across the country and going to the National Sports Card Convention. He'll bring in all the first-hand tips, but to kick it off, to do like, this is like, you know, like on the Super Bowl, they have like pre-game starting like 8 hours before the game. This is kind of like it. You know, there's not much we can talk about. There's not much, you know, since we're not at the show and I'm not there and there's not much I can do. We're going to do our best here. This is like, you know, the 8 hour pre-game show. So we're kind of kicking it off here, and I'll give you some tips on if you're going to a card show, and I'll also give you tips if you're selling and some of the things that I think help drive some sales and might help you out and clear your table. Cause that's the whole key to success here. And the key to success is to take a break and come right back. We'll be right back after this. And we are back. Time for some card show tips. But before we get to that, thanks to everybody that emailed me last week to enter our contest. I will be wrapping that up this week. I got a decent enough response. I might just make it. Everybody that emailed me might win. So we'll see. That's no guarantee, but chances are that's probably, I'll get too lazy to throw the contest somewhere else, that I'll hook you guys up. So thanks to everybody that emailed me. And now on to some card show tips. On to, like, first we'll talk about if you're going to the show. And some of you guys might know all this stuff. So I might throw in some tips here maybe that you guys don't know. So, hey, hang with us here. First thing is first, you got to have a backpack or something. I discovered this. Or you got to have, like, your girlfriend or, like, a friend or a team of people with you to hold your stuff. Because I know I, like, got a stack of cards at this one card show. And then I wanted to go through cards at another table, but I didn't want to, like, throw them in my pocket. I didn't want to put them down on the table because I didn't want the guy to think that that was part of his cards, or I didn't want somebody else to grab them. So luckily my girlfriend was willing to hold them, but I was thinking, man, it would have been better to have a backpack and definitely have a box. And that's my next thing, is like sleeves and like protection and boxes, unless you want to buy those things there. Maybe throw the, if you're bringing a backpack, you certainly have room to toss those things in there. And that might be a good idea, because I remember sorting through a box where there was some nice cards, but they're all without even sleeves on them. So I kind of wanted to keep them in good condition. So those are the kind of things you definitely want to think about. Also, another thing you could throw in your bag is like water, food, and snacks, because sometimes the food, that selection might not be that great. It might be the card selection is great, but all the food is not that great. I don't know what it's like at really nice shows, but the shows I've been to, those amenities have been limited. So if you are planning to stay a long time, you're going to get thirsty and maybe hungry, and maybe you don't want to miss if you're standing in line for a autograph signing, or a certain time's coming up for an autograph signing, you can't leave. So having like water and food and stuff might help make the show more enjoyable. Another thing is like a fully charged phone. You might take this for granted, but you might want to check the price of a card, or make sure you're getting a good deal and things like that at a card show. Or maybe you want to know what price to offer. And a fully charged phone, so you can go to eBay or go to check out my cards or whatever and find that kind of information, is a good idea. So make sure you have your phone charged, and if you think you'll blast through your battery, have an extra battery or bring your charger. You might be able to find a plug there to plug in. So that's definitely something you want to think about. Comfortable shoes, obviously, because you're going to be walking around all day. But most guys and most people already wear Nikes and sneakers anyways that are pretty comfortable. So you don't have to worry about that. Another thing is like cologne and deodorant. I noticed like standing next to guys, sometimes they like smelled kind of bad. I was like, man, it's kind of hard to sit there and sift through the cards and stuff when people don't smell good. So make sure you have like, you, if you, even if you can't afford like cologne and like stuff like that, you go to like the 99 cent store. I went to the 99 cent store. I got like Acqua di Gio for 90, a bottle of it for 99 cents. It doesn't last very long. It's definitely not a great imitation, but hey, at least a couple sprays of that and you can get 99 cent deodorant. So that's, there's no excuse to not smell good or at least halfway decent at the card show. So you're not, you know, ruining the experience for the other people. And another thing I thought of is I saw a lot of people, they were like loading up on stuff. Like if you, especially if like jerseys and like 8x10s that you had athletes sign, you want to go and then like put that in the car maybe and then go back, re-enter the show and go look at all the cards and stuff, or maybe go get another athlete to sign a helmet and stuff. You don't want to have to carry that helmet around. So parking close to the exit. So maybe scoping out the parking lot before you pick a parking spot. Maybe be like, oh, okay, I can exit here, get a re-entry, and boom, be right back into the show. You don't want to park a ways away from the entry and walk the whole parking lot with an autographed helmet or a jersey, and it might get dusty or something. So those are the things you want to think about. Those are the things I kind of thought about off the top of my head. I'm sure we'll come up with more throughout the week as we talk to people about their experience at the National Sports Card Convention. Another thing is I was thinking it'd be a good idea to have like a plan, and you might want to think about, hey, am I going to go to this card show to buy wax boxes? Am I going to go to buy rare cards that I haven't seen, rare vintage cards, rare, like one of one patches that you haven't seen, you know, things like that. Or maybe you're just going to go and buy a player. I thought that was really helpful for me. It helped me narrow it down when I went. I know I've gone to card shows in the past without a plan, maybe some money to spend, but not really a plan necessarily. And I think that's really a good idea, is to have a plan of, hey, I'm going to go here and try to find some really cheap cards, maybe 10 for a dollar cards. And I'm going to look for an autograph of, you know, Ryan Howard or something like that. So I think something like that, where you have a plan, or I'm going to go there to buy vintage PSA graded Hannes Wagner cards if I can find them, and buy a couple packs of the newest Panini product in football. So I think having a plan there where you have like an A and a B strategy is a good idea. Last tip, and for someone like me who's gone completely to the debit card, so to speak, is cash. Sometimes I never have cash on me. I feel bad sometimes. People ask, in my town especially, people, I walked around today in town, and I had like four people ask me for money. And so I feel bad. If I had money on me, I'd give it to them. But I've never had any cash on me. And that's not how I roll. So have cash though at a card show, because almost nobody, some slick dealers might have that PayPal thing. And that's might be a nice transition into our next segment, is you could break out into, I know that they have those like, mobile applications where you plug it into your phone and you can swipe the debit card. I know PayPal has one. A couple other services are out there, but I think PayPal would probably be the easiest one to use. So if you're a seller and you're at card shows, I can think of nothing better than that, than to give you, you know, most people that attend shows, they're sophisticated card collectors. They already know that you need cash. But what if you give that guy the option? Maybe he only has a credit card. Maybe he only has $100, $180, $200 on his bank account, but he has a credit card with $1,000 on it. So, you know, giving him that option to swipe his credit card might open up the door for a few more sales for you. And it might open up the door. People might just forget to bring cash or have enough cash or don't want to go to the ATM or pay the $5 ATM fee. So, those are the kind of things you want to think about. Also, as a seller, is I was thinking, man, you might want to test about specialize. It might be kind of hard, but you might want to test out specializing. Like, I remember going to the shows and seeing the tables with just 8x10s, just helmet sign, just like old vintage cards. Some guys just selling wax. Some guys just selling really cheap cards. And it just kind of depends on your inventory. I think what you have. You don't want to necessarily go to a show and just dump a bunch of crap, because like I said, people that attend shows typically, especially like the National Sports Card Convention, are fairly sophisticated collectors. And so if you're just throwing out junk at them, you know, those are the kind of things that might turn away some collectors. So make sure you have things localized as well. I know when I go to the San Francisco show, I see autographs of Tim Lincecum and Matt Cain. Half of them probably fake, but you know, everybody has their Giant stuff out and their A stuff. That might work to a certain extent if you have that kind of ability. Like if you're going to Baltimore, it might help to boost out your Baltimore Ravens cards or your Oreo cards that certainly don't sell pretty much anywhere else. So those are the kind of things you want to think about. Specializing in something, maybe either just cheap base cards and a few other products, just wax boxes or just whatever, and you want to localize as much as you can as well. Maybe take advantage of, hey, you can't sell your Baltimore Orioles cards in Stockton, you know, but maybe it can sell them right in the heart of the city. So those are the kind of, and maybe not even for that much of a markup, but at least it'll move, you know, whereas in any other market, they don't really move. They just sit there. Whereas priced right, they'll move out the door in the right market. So those are the kind of things you want to think about, the, you know, inventory and specializing in kind of things. Another thing is create a buzz around your table. Have maybe a little bit of music playing or somehow create. I know like at more like bigger trade shows, they usually just put like a pretty woman or like a couple of them out in front. And if you can afford that or if you have that those kind of resources, that might be a good technique, especially at a male-dominated industry like cards tend to be. Might be a good technique. You know, I mean, some people might look down on that, but hey, this is, you're trying to make money here. You're trying to make sales. You paid for that table, and you see it all the time on national TV with publicly traded companies, so don't worry about it. So create a buzz around your table. Maybe have hourly contests or daily contests. Have people come back to your table. Try to, you know, be lively, be fresh, be attentive to your customers, answer any questions. Another thing is really key is pricing. Have it clear out there. I hate going through a box of cards. I'm not going to go through a box of cards where I don't know if you're charging me 10 cents a card, I'll go through every one. And if you're charging me 50 cents a card, I'll walk right by. So there's a fine line there. That's only 40 cents there, but it's a fine line. It could be even tighter than that for some people. You know, so you want to have boxes labeled or have some kind of way to price everything so it's really clear to the customer. Either have every card priced or have a sticker or color coding system or have boxes clearly labeled. Things like that. You just want to have the prices labeled on, you know, you don't have to put the price on the $1,000 card. And if that's all you have in your cabinet, you're targeting a different clientele. But I've walked by people's things where they had boxes of cards where I would have gone through them, but I had no idea what their prices was. And the guy might be sitting there flipping through his phone. And it's like, what am I going to do? I don't necessarily need the cards, but if they're a certain price, I'll certainly buy them. So I think you want to tap into all your buyers at a card show and try to, because they got lots of options. They can just walk right by and go to the next table. So you need a reason for them to stop at your table and to take a look and clear pricing, a buzz, a little bit of music. You not sitting there on your tablet or on your phone or talking on the phone or talking to the next door neighbor, but paying attention to your customers and taking care of them when there's people around your table is certainly a good idea. Another thing that I notice at card shows is all the tables are always kind of end to end, and that only allows people to go by one side of the table. I think if they turn the tables more like picnic style and allowed everyone to walk through the whole, I know that doesn't give the dealers like a little bit of space. I think you could rope off a little area for them, but I think if you roped off an area and then allowed people to go on both sides of the table, it would allow people to flow through the both sides of the table and sort through more cards, and it would be a much more enjoyable experience. So if you're a dealer and they got the tables end to end, I mean, if it doesn't seem like it's that tight of a run a thing, just turn the table sideways. I allow people to get on both sides of your table. The more people around your table, when people are walking by tables and they see nobody in front, but they see all these people surrounding the table, they think, oh man, that guy must have good deals. That guy must have the stuff everybody's looking for. So people will migrate to you. So those are the kind of things that all goes around creating a buzz and creating excitement around what you're trying to sell. So hopefully those kind of tips will help you out. And I think, man, that's about all we've got on today's show. But I did get an email from a longtime listener that kind of said he liked that the shows were a little bit shorter recently. So, yeah, that's pretty good. And I've got some really good iTunes comment. I appreciate everybody that goes to the iStore or Apple iTunes store or whatever. I don't know. You can rate it or whatever and leave a comment. So I really appreciate the people that do that. And yeah, that's about it today. So I'll wrap up the contest this week, but you've got a lot of things to look forward to. This was just, like I said, this was like the pregame, the 8 hours before the Super Bowl. We're talking about the National Sports Card Convention, giving you some tips just in general of card shows and things like that. We talked about a couple sets, but definitely this week we'll have some interviews and some other things that should be really exciting. So stay tuned for the rest of the week, and we'll be back soon. Thanks for tuning in. We are out of here.